This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
New figures out today show growth in Europe is strong again and why some countries want to ban foreign home buyers.
We think that the New Zealand market for homes should be a New Zealand market, not an international market.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Eurozone growth figures come out in the next 10 minutes, and they're expected to be good news. But what about Europe's problem child, Greece? Bailed out in 2010 after borrowing too much, Greece has seen 6 years of recession, though it's now projected to grow more than 1% this year. Vicky Price is author of Greekonomics.
Well, it's worth remembering that Greece has lost 25% of its GDP, of its income, since the financial crisis, really. So we're starting from a very low base. But what's going on right now is that the continuous cuts that we have seen over a number of years have now become less severe. And there is a bit of normalization returning. In fact, Greece was able to borrow in the capital markets recently at reasonable rates, which is quite an extraordinary event. What Greece has particularly benefited from recently is the fact that tourism trade has been very strong, record numbers of people coming to Greece, and also that they are finally going through the process of selling government entities to the private sector and to foreign companies. There is a bit of investment coming in.
So with all this high confidence in the Eurozone growth in Greece, if you were an investor, would you invest in Greece or would you be looking at other places in Europe?
Well, you'd be quite wary of Greece. A, because of the slowness of doing things. B, because you just don't know where the economy would go in the future. Greece is exiting its bailout programs, which is actually good news. But anything could happen in relation to whatever political sort of changes there might be in the future. So that's the second thing you worry about. And third, of course, you worry a little bit about the Eurozone itself. It's kept Greece in so far. There's a huge, huge debt issue still to deal with. If it doesn't get restructured, who knows what may happen to Greece in the future. But if I were looking at Greece, I would say it's probably reached the bottom. And it can only probably go up from where it is.
Vicky Price, let's do the numbers. European stocks are higher. France's economy is growing at a faster rate than expected, leading the CAC up 9 points or 0.16%. China's Hang Seng closed down 90 points or 0.32%. Now, President Trump heads to China next week. And ahead of that visit, Taiwan's president has promised Washington she will increase the island's defense budget by at least 2% each year. Beijing still claims the island as its province and has not renounced the use of force to take it back. The BBC's Cindy Su reports from Taipei.
The timing of President Tsai's announcement is significant. President Trump will be on his first state visit to China next week. There are fears in Taiwan that he may reach an agreement with Beijing that could harm the self-ruled island. President Tsai knows money matters to the Trump administration. Taiwan is already one of the United States' top weapons buyers, spending on average $2 billion each year on U.S. arms. By pledging to buy more weapons from the U.S., President Tsai may be trying to remind President Trump that Taiwan is still an important customer that he shouldn't forsake.
Cindy Su in Taiwan. pity new home buyers in New Zealand, where prices have gone so high that ownership is at its lowest level since 1951. New Zealand's new Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, the world's youngest female leader, just took office, and she's promised to ban non-citizens and non-residents from buying homes. Speaking to Radio New Zealand, here's what Labour Trade and Export Growth Minister David Parker had to say.
I don't think that it should be an international market for our houses. I think it should be local homes that to live in. They shouldn't be commodities that we trade internationally. I think that most of those, just about everyone who buys, who's a foreign person buying into New Zealand, they're a very, very wealthy one percenter, if you like. And I think that's one of the excesses of global capital when you allow those sorts of interests to influence your local housing market.
The problem isn't limited to New Zealand. Sophie Chick is head of residential research at Savills in Australia.
In a lot of these key global cities, increased significantly. So this what we're seeing happen in New Zealand isn't unique to New Zealand. We've seen it in a lot of other cities where I am, in Sydney, in London, maybe a few years ago, and in a lot of other Asian cities. So it's definitely not unique to New Zealand.
Does it work, though, to ban certain kinds of buyers? I mean, are they the ones that are fueling the rise in prices globally?
Well, I think what's really interesting is that Sydney and Melbourne, two cities that have seen very strong house price growth, and we do have affordability issues in both of these cities, already have a ban on foreign buyers buying established dwellings in a similar way to what New Zealand want to introduce. So actually, while foreign buyers are part of the picture, people need to look at house price rises as the whole picture. I think a lot of focus is given to foreign buyers, but there's a number of other factors that are driving up these house prices. It's definitely not just foreign buyers coming through.
In London, it's also just the lack of supply. Is that an issue elsewhere?
The lack of supply is a huge problem, and that is definitely driving up house prices. And that's one of the key things that governments globally are looking to address. But you've also got factors like low interest rates, really strong population growth, strong economies, and all of these factors help contribute to house price growth. It's definitely not just foreign buyers, although it is easy to see why there's a lot of media attention around them.
Sophie Chick of Savills in Australia. Finally, happy Halloween, though if you're a retailer, you might be missing a trick if you're only focused on those big holidays, Halloween, Christmas and Easter. Millions of people celebrate other things like Diwali, Eid and Chinese Singles Day. That's coming up on November 11th or 1111. Last year, Chinese singletons spent more than $17 billion in 24 hours buying themselves treats. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.